Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You be the judge now. Is this a joke or is this whole scene a joke?
Ted, what's the biggest difference between Hillary Clinton and a catfish?
Hillary Clinton and a catfish. I think one's feared in the water and one's feared on land.
Oh, Ted, no way. No. One has whiskers and stinks, and the other is a fish.
That's two private equity giants joking at a secret Wall Street Society meeting in 2012. Kappa Beta Phi crashed by a then New York Times reporter who watched as Wall Street's biggest names dressed up in drag, made tasteless jokes, and celebrated greed and excess. This elaborate scene is recounted in a piece in New York Magazine where Kevin Roos, that New York Times reporter, now works. But it is a minor scene in his book about what may be a much bigger idea than chronicling misbehaving billionaires. Kevin Roos's Young Money is all about the newbies on Wall Street and how the passing of the torch in the financial business right now may leave some odd traditions behind. And that may be a good thing. Kevin Roos, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start right out with this. Am I listening to the sound of a dying culture or a culture that's just being born? Listen to this moment that you know actually quite well.
I work on Wall Street. And Wall Street just released.
So set the scene there. A bunch of older guys are screaming, "You suck." And a bunch of younger folks dressed up like Mormons are singing from the Book of Mormon all about a prophecy that they're going to be rich.
Right. Well, it's a song, I believe, from the Book of Mormon, except they change the words to say things like, I believe that God has a plan for all of us. I believe that my plan involves a seven-figure bonus.
And what did you make of that? I mean, in a sense, this is a secret meeting that you found your way into. It would have been shocking if they were discussing actually whether Peruvians get the right price for their commodities and whether people in Bangladesh are actually fairly compensated. That would have been a shocker.
Right. I mean, in some ways, this was a parody of sort of the ways that we as normal people imagine that the ultra-wealthy act behind closed doors, the secret society called Kappa Beta Phi, 80 years old. And for me, the shock was that this was all going on in January of 2012, sort of only 2 or 3 months after Occupy Wall Street was sort of at its peak. So these are people who had been keeping a low profile for good reason. And then when they were behind closed doors, they thought amongst themselves, they let loose with all manner of, degrading, homophobic, sexist jokes about the 99,
about Barney Frank,
yeah. The 99%, singing songs called Bailout King to the tune of ABBA's Dancing Queen. I mean, they really let loose, and I was sitting there in a rented tuxedo sort of taking this all in.
But the mission of your book, to try to figure out if the culture that is emerging in Wall Street is different from what you saw. And I guess the question is, they both were together at that sort of induction ceremony. What did you make of the sort of passing of the torch that might have been going on?
So the young bankers that I followed for Young Money, the eight first and second year analysts at firms like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, they were not at the Kappa Beta Phi meeting. They are still very much too young and inexperienced to be invited to something like that. But I spent 3 years following these guys around and learning about their lives after the crash. And what I found is that in some ways their lives are the polar opposite of sort of the over-the-top Wolf of Wall Street type atmosphere. They work incredibly long hours, sometimes 100, 110 hours a week. There's a thing called the banker 9-to-5 where they work from 9 a.m. until 5 a.m. the next day. And to the extent that they're taking drugs like they do in the movies, it's so that they can stay up later and work more. So I think it's a bifurcated culture and there's a generation gap in finance. And that's what I wanted to explore was not only how are the CEOs acting, but how are the people who are just starting out acting?
And so in many ways, this secret society business was a depiction of the generation gap, not necessarily the core ethos of what's going on. The people you profiled are bankers who want to make money.
They're bankers who want to make money, but they're also, they come to Wall Street for all kinds of reasons. And this was a shock to me when I started interviewing these young bankers. Some of them told me that they had come for the money, but some of them also told me that money had had very little to do with it, that they were just in college. They wanted to have a job. They, you know, they went to a school that sends a phenomenally high proportion of its graduates to Wall Street, and it was what all their friends were doing. So I think there's a sort of, there was at least a social pressure and an anxiety that sort of leads people to Wall Street if they don't know what else to do with their lives.
So do you think the people that you profiled will end up like this? Listen.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old ferns there are not forgotten. Look away.
Look away.
Look away.
Look away.
Look away, Wall Street.
Look away from Warren.
Now, to the tune of Dixie, that's a story of the financial crash at the secret society meeting that you crashed. Warren Stevens is one of the folks singing there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the young folks that you profiled will end up like that?
I don't think so, and maybe that's hopelessly naive of me, but I actually think this generation of young bankers is much more socially attuned to the realities of the world they live in. What shocked me as I was interviewing these people is how much dissent and doubt there was among the people in the ranks. And when I told the young bankers about this Kappa Beta Phi dinner and all the offensive things I'd seen there, they'd never heard of this organization. And to them, one of them said it sounded like something that Occupy Wall Street would have invented if they wanted people to hate bankers even more.
So in some ways, the ultra wealthy, the focus of, you know, the financial channels, are really on the fringe in terms of the culture that you explored.
I think they are, and I think they set the tone, obviously. But there are relatively few of those people compared to the people who are young and in the trenches and working these 100-hour weeks. And those are the people who are going to be leading Wall Street 20 years from now.
A nasty scene you managed to capture, but a pretty hopeful message from your book.
I hope so. I think if that's the litmus test. If in 20 years Kappa Beta Phi is still around, maybe Wall Street hasn't changed that much after all. But I think it has.
One last point. The guy who outed you, Michael Novogratz, a billionaire, is a college wrestler. He could have broken you in half, you know.
He really could have. And I'm glad I didn't escape out of that party on a stretcher.
Kevin Roos is a staff writer for New York Magazine and author of Young Money. Thanks so much.